ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Ambarish Maharaj offended by Durvasa Muni, text number 30. Vritante Kartike Masi Triratrang Samuposita Snata Kadachit Kalindyam Haring Madhuvane Narchayat Vritante Kartike Masi Tri Ratrang Samuposita Snata Kadachit Kalindyam Haring Madhuvanir Chayat Vitante Khatike Masi Tri Ratrang Samuposita Snata Kadachit Kalindyam Haring Madhuvanir Chayat Vritante Kartike Masi Tri Ratrang Samuposita Snata Kadachit Kalindyam Haring Madhuvanir Chayat. Snata Kadachi Kalinjam Rima Vivanirche Vatante Kartike Masi Tri Ratram Samuposita Snata Kadachi Kalinjam Haring Madhuvanirche Matiji Martinte Kartike Chiasi Tri Ratrang Samuposita Snatit Kadachi Kalindyam Haring Madhuvanir Chayad. Ladies. Vritante Kartike Masi Tri Ratrang Samuposita snata tudasi kalindyam harimoluvane pacha atande naktike masi tiratran samoposita snata tudasi kalindyam Harimodhu Vanirchayat Vrata Ante. At the end of observing the vow. And Kartike. In the month of Kartik, October, November. Masi. In that month. Tri Ratram. For 3 nights. Samuposita, after completely observing the fast. Snata, after bathing. Kadachit, once upon a time. Kalindyam, on the bank of the Jamuna. Harim, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Madhuvane, in that part of the Vrindavan area known as Madhuvan. Archayat, worshipped the Lord. Translation. So there's a few verses here with no purport, so we'll go on a little bit. In the month of Kartik, after observing that vow for 1 year, after observing a fast for 3 nights, and after bathing in the Jamuna, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in Madhuvan. Text 31 and 32. Following the regular principles of Maha Abhishek, Maharaj Ambarish performed the bathing ceremony for the deity of Lord Krishna with all paraphernalia, and then he dressed the deity with fine clothing, ornaments, fragrant flower garlands, and other paraphernalia for worship of the Lord. With attention and devotion, he worshipped Krishna and all the greatly fortunate brahmanas who were free from material desires. Texts 33, 34, and 35. Thereafter, Maharaj Ambarish satisfied all the guests who arrived at his house, especially the brahmanas. He gave in charity 60 crores of cows whose horns were covered with gold plate and whose hooves were covered with silver plate. Do we have any mathematicians here? 10 million is 1 crore. 60 crores. That's a lot of cows. A lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of wealth there. All the cows were well decorated with garments and had full milk bags. They were mild-natured, young, and beautiful, and were accompanied by their calves. After giving these cows, the king first sumptuously fed all the brahmanas, and when they were fully satisfied, he was about to observe the end of Ekadasi with their permission by breaking the fast. Exactly at that time, however, Durvasa Muni, the great and powerful mystic, appeared on the scene as an uninvited guest. Text 36. After standing up to receive Durvasa Muni, King Ambarish offered him a seat and paraphernalia of worship. Then, sitting at his feet, the king requested the great sage to eat. Text 37. Durvasa Muni gladly accepted the request of Maharaj Ambarish, but to perform the regular ritualistic ceremonies, he went to the river Yamuna. There he dipped into the water of the auspicious Yamuna and meditated upon the impersonal Brahman. Text 38. In the meantime, only a muhurta of the Dwadasi day was left on which to break the fast. Consequently, it was imperative that the fast be broken immediately. In this dangerous situation, the king consulted learned Brahmanas. Text 39 and 40. The king said, to transgress the laws of respectful behavior toward the Brahmanas is certainly a great offense. On the other hand, if one does not observe the breaking of the fast within the time of Dvadasi, there is a flaw in one's observance of the vow. Therefore, O Brahmanas, if you think that it will be auspicious and not irreligious, I shall break the fast by drinking water. In this way, after consulting with the Brahmanas, the king reached this decision, for according to Brahminical opinion, drinking water may be accepted as eating and also not eating. Purport. When Maharaj Ambarish, in his dilemma, consulted the Brahmanas about whether he should break the fast or wait for Durvasa Muni, apparently they could not give a definite answer about what to do. A Vaishnava, however, is the most intelligent personality. Therefore, Maharaj Ambarish himself decided, in the presence of the Brahmanas, that he would drink a little water, for this would confirm that the fast was broken, but would not transgress the laws for receiving a Brahmana. In the Vedas, it is said, Apo snati tam, naivasitam, naivha nasitam. This Vedic injunction declares that the drinking of water may be accepted as eating or as not eating. Sometimes in our practical experience, we see that some political leader adhering to satyagraha will not eat but will drink water. Considering that drinking water would not be eating, Maharaj Ambarish decided to act in this way. Om Gyanatamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksum Litam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Krotu Vachalang Bangun Lung Hayate Guru Nyakripataraham Vande Sigurum Dinataranam Vanchakapa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhubjaya Vachapaditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namah Namah Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. First, I'd like to give some good news, some good morning news here in New Dwarka. As we all know, New Dwarka is practically always the number one temple in book distribution in America. But the good news is, last month, New Dwarka was the number one temple in the world. Some good news to start the day with, huh? So, yeah, book distribution is going so nicely here. By the mercy of Savasabhu, Brigupati, Prabhu, Rukmini Dwarkadev, Skornitai. So it's very... very auspicious. So here, we're hearing that the Brahmanas, they didn't know what to do in this circumstance. Although Ambarish Maharaj, he consulted with them, but they didn't know what to do. So he was very intelligent, being a Vaishnava, so he knew what to do. Just taking water is also breaking the fast and not breaking the fast. So, not only did they have that flaw in them, but when this monster, this fiery demon came, Ambarish Maharaj, he was completely fixed. He wasn't disturbed at all. He was completely fixed in his meditation on Krishna. But it's described that all the Brahmanas, they went running, scared. Very, of course, many of us probably would be too. It's pretty some big fiery demon. But this shows how a very, very exalted devotee is not fearful at all. There was one interview where one interviewer asked Prabhupada, what is the result of chanting Hare Krishna? What do you get out of it? Prabhupada replied, I have no fear. So this is one of the results of chanting Hare Krishna, of taking to devotional service. One becomes fearless. And you could see by Prabhupada's practical activities, what he did is just amazing. Just coming to America at his age with nothing, that's an incredible amount of fearlessness there. And just living in New York City. So he was extremely transcendental personality. And this also, from this devotion, from this fearlessness, one becomes very humble, completely dependent on Krishna. So this is the situation with Ambarish Maharaj. He was completely dependent on Krishna, knowing that Krishna would protect him. So this is humility. In one chapter, I think it's the 13th chapter, it's described, the first verse there. What is knowledge? Amanidvam adambitam. Amanidvam means humility. That's the first qualification of one who is in knowledge. Which means that he knows, I'm small, God is great. And then adambitam means prideless. He had no pride. You know, devotee has no pride. So this is another symptom of knowledge. That there's no pride. That I am very small, God is great. So this is one of the problems with Durvasa Muni. He had this pride. And then when Lord Chaitanya was instructing Sanatana Goswami, he explained that there was one Brahmana. His name was Sarvagya. And these Brahmanas, they would go door to door and they would enlighten people, and they would do astrology sometimes. And so this Sarvagya, he went to one man's house, and this man was very depressed, he was very poor. And so Sarvagya, he did his astrological chart, and he said, actually, don't be so disturbed, because I have good news for you. Your father has left you with great wealth, and an abundant amount of wealth. But when you go to get this wealth, you should be very careful. Because if you dig in the southern part of where this wealth is, you're going to be harassed by bees, and they're going to be such a disturbance to you that you're not going to be able to get the treasure. And if you dig on the western side, there's going to be ghosts in this area, and they're going to cause so much fear in you that you're not going to be able to get the treasure. And if you dig in the northern side of where this treasure is, you're going to be devoured by a big black snake. But if you dig on the eastern side, that's where you'll find the treasure. This is where you'll get the treasure, and that's devotional service. So this being harassed by the bees is compared to material enjoyment. When one tries to get some pleasure out of material enjoyment, then one experiences suffering. And therefore it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that whatever one tries to enjoy in this material world, whatever sense pleasure one tries to enjoy in this material world, that very thing that one is trying to enjoy becomes a source of misery. Hlada tapakari. Hlada tapakari. Whatever one tries to enjoy in this world, that very thing becomes a source of pleasure, of distress. I'm seeing some heads knocking back and forth. You know? They've had the experience. So we've all had that experience in this world. And if we look on the western side, that's the ghost. So this is compared to gyan. People get so much gyan and they become bewildered. Just like so many people have translated the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, and they're just confused. If someone isn't a devotee of Krishna and they read the Vedas, then it can be very, very confusing. You know, they don't know what to do. They don't know what's right, what's wrong. So we're very fortunate, extremely fortunate, because we have a pure devotee that translated all these Vedic literatures, which are they're mysterious. It's a great secret, this knowledge. Even Krishna says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, it's a great secret. But if you have a pure devotee explaining this great secret, then it's more obtainable. So we're very fortunate that we have this great knowledge, so that we're not bewildered. I remember I met one person in the airport in Miami, and he had just come from India, and so I showed him the book. I was explaining the book to him, and he looked very confused. He said he had been in India studying all these books, and I could see the result of his studying all these Vedic literatures. He just looked really confused. Now he asked for a donation. He said, yeah, okay, I'll give you a donation. And he took a book. You know, hopefully he'll understand something more, something that's more clear from the Vedic literatures. So, and then if one digs on the northern side, that's where the big black snake, one is devoured by this big black snake. And this is compared to mystic perfections. Yeah. Just like Durvasa Muni, he had these mystic perfections. But the problem was, he became devoured by pride. He became proud, and he wanted to show how great he was by demeaning this Ambarish Maharaj. But he got a reaction for that. So pride is a big it's a big obstacle. Kala Kalir Balina Invi Vairi Varga Shib Bhakti Margya Kantaka Koti Ruta. Purporting under Saraswati Thakur, he says in the age of Kali it's very, very difficult to control the senses. And in this age the path of bhakti is spiked by millions of thorny obstacles. And one of the big ones, one of the big thorns, is pride. Like Chanaka Pandit, he said, there's four types of blindness. There's when one is physically blind, you can't see. One is blinded by greed. One is blinded by lust. Blinded by pride. And he said, of all the four, blinded by pride is the worst. Because if one is proud, then he won't take any good instruction. Doesn't matter who it's coming from. Won't take any good instruction. And therefore it's stated that you give a fool good instruction and he just becomes angry. Who are you to tell me? I know. So this process of Krishna consciousness, of hearing and chanting and serving the Vaishnavas, this is meant to bring this pride down. No pride, humility. And it's interesting that these are the two, the first two that Krishna mentions as knowledge, is humility and pridelessness. Which pridelessness means humility. So it's interesting that these are the two first that he mentions to have knowledge. So this pride, of course, it's not easy to become free of. We have to therefore hear about Krishna. We understand, and if when we understand and hear the greatness of Krishna, then this helps us to develop this humility. You know? Krishna is so great. And if we hear and we hear and we hear and we hear and we hear of the greatness of Krishna, then eventually we'll understand how small we are. Very insignificant. Yeah. So this is the result of hearing and chanting and serving that will eventually will become humble. So Nirvasa Muni, it's mentioned here that he meditated on the impersonal Brahman. But of course Ambarish Maharaj, he was meditating on Krishna. And he could not be moved. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita that just as a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so a transcendentalist who is fixed on the absolute truth, he does not waver from his meditation on the transcendent self or on Krishna. So this was Ambarish Maharaj. He was completely fixed in his meditation on Krishna and could not waver. You know, completely absorbed in Krishna. And he was also very compassionate. This is the nature of a devotee, that they're very compassionate. Therefore, I was just reading in the Bhagavatam the other day that there's one devotee, Sudama, the garland maker. Such a great Vaishnava. Now generally, devotees are trying to attain Krishna. They're searching for Krishna. But this devotee is described that he is such a great devotee that when Krishna went to Mathura, Krishna was searching for Sudama. He's so exalted. And when he found Sudama, he was so happy, so pleased. And of course, Sudama, he worshipped him with great devotion. And then Krishna, he asked him, take a benediction, whatever you want. I'll give you whatever you want. And what he prayed for, this is so beautiful. He said, I just want unshakable devotion to you. Friendship with your devotees and compassion for all living entities. That covers everything. That covers everything. Yeah. What a beautiful prayer. Huh? So if we can have these three things, we're set. Yeah. Devotion for Krishna. Yeah. Of course, this is what we're praying for. Every morning we're praying in this Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We're praying for devotion for Krishna. Now sometimes devotees, they pray for other things. I know there's one young man here in the community, I won't mention anybody's name, but when he was sometimes trying to get a girlfriend, he would chant japa then. That's when he would chant japa. I don't know if Krishna... I don't think so, yeah. Krishna's thinking about in a higher way. So we have so many desires that we try to fulfill. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said if we pray for anything else other than for devotion for Krishna, then this is offensive. Just like we have the 10 offenses, to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. This is one of the major offenses that we, you know, of course we're not free of material desires, but when they come, we should pray to Krishna, please Krishna. I don't have the potency to become free of these desires. Please help me to become free of these desires so that all that's left is a desire to serve you. So we should pray to Krishna like this. Nadanam dadanam sundariyam kavitang vaja gadishakame mama janmani janmani sri bhavatag bhakti rahayati kitri. No desire to have wealth, followers, beautiful women, but I just want to serve you, Krishna. So this is such a sublime prayer. So this is the goal, that we want to just serve Krishna. And here it's mentioned that Ambarish Maharaj, he was actually greater than a Brahmana. Automatically a Vaishnava, he's a Brahmana with all good qualities. Samo, Damas, Dapaso, Chung, Shantir, Arjum, Evacha, Jnana, Vijnanam, Asaka, Brahmakarma, Subhavacha. He's peaceful. You could see how peaceful he was. This huge, we can't imagine. I mean, this fiery demon is just, can't imagine how fearsome it must have been. But he was just completely shanti, completely peaceful. Wasn't disturbed at all. Because he was completely self-realized. He knew that I'm the soul within. I'm not this body, so how can I be harmed? I can't be harmed by anything, by this fiery demon. He was completely fixed in Krishna. Self-controlled. Completely controlled. He's austere. He did this Ekadasi Vrata for 1 year. Very austere. So these are some of the qualities of a Brahmana. And the more we hear and chant, the more we become, we'll develop these qualities. Just shasti bhaktir bhagavat chikinchina sarvarganista samathesra. That one who takes to this Krishna consciousness, he develops all the good qualities of the demigods. There's so many exalted demigods, like Narada Muni, Lord Shiva, so many amazing, great demigods. So all the qualities of the demigods become manifest in one who engages in devotional service. It's not that we have to try to develop these qualities one by one. They automatically develop as we continue on in devotional service, as we're seeing here with Ambarish Maharaj, such a great Vaishnava. So all good qualities were manifest in him. So, any question or comment? Yes. The microphone is just now coming. There's a microphone coming. Microphone, just a second. Yeah, it's coming to you. Over here, Papu. Over here. Here. Right here, in the front, Papu. There you go.
I'm kind of embarrassed, but it's been a while since I've heard that story. So what happens?
With the
thing about the fiery demon, I don't remember.
Oh. Oh, how is Ambarish Maharaj saved from the fiery demon? Well,
what happened? In other words,
what happened was is that because Ambarish was such a great devotee, previously Krishna had given him the Sudarshan Chakra as a gift. So the Sudarshan Chakra is a personality. So he was, I guess Krishna kind of knew some mishap was going to happen. So he gave that to him as a gift. It was already there with him. So when Sudarshan Chakra saw that this demon was going to harass this great devotee Ambarish Maharaj, he went and he killed this demon, finished. And then he chased through Durvasa Muni. And that's why he went around. You know how long he went around, right? For 1 year. So, yeah.
I remember the picture in the Bhagavatam, but yeah. I don't remember those details.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu, the microphone.
Jagu, thank you for a nice class. My question is, at what point does it become offensive to pray to Krishna for fulfillment of a material desire? Because in the Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, Krishna says there are four kinds of pious men who approach me, you know, the distressed, the one who wants economic development, the inquisitive. And I think in the subsequent verse he says, all these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls. Of course, we have the examples of Dhruva Maharaj and Gajendra. Definitely they were materially motivated. And then even more extreme examples of, say, like Putana and Kamsa, who weren't approaching Krishna for, you know, asking for fulfillment of a desire, but in some places in the Shastra, the absolute value of thinking of Krishna or having any contact with Krishna is emphasized. And then other times we hear something like what you said, where Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said it's offensive to pray to Krishna for anything other than pure devotional service. So it sounds like, you know, both things are there. You know, how do we understand that?
Mm. Nice question. Thank you. Well, like Dhruva Maharaj, he had a very strong material desire. He wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. I mean, that's like a major material desire. But by his meditation on Krishna, he became purified. So purified that he wasn't interested in anything material. He even considered the desire of having a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma to be like broken glass. Just useless. I mean, how much do we value broken glass? You just throw it away. Right? You just find the nearest trash can, throw it away. So that's when we know that we've made it, when we're not interested anymore. When we're still interested in trying to get some material enjoyment, then, you know, we've got to carry on. Of course, even when we do reach that perfection, we carry on in devotional service. But if we still feel these material desires, we got to continue praying to Krishna, please, Krishna, cleanse me. Cleanse me of this garbage so that I can serve you nicely, so I can please you. I was just a couple of days ago, I was meditating on this and how, thinking that we should live just to please Krishna. Yeah. And at the same time, live to help others. At the same time, live to get purified. And at the same time, live to help others get on this path. Yeah. So that's what this book distribution is all about. We're trying to help others, you know, understand, you know, that you have to get purified of your material desires. They don't know that they're, like so many times we distribute books and such a common thing, you know, no, I'm good, I'm all right. So they don't know. They're in Maya. They don't know that they need to get purified. So we have to let them know, you know, that, you know, you're impure. You have to get purified. Then you'll be happy. Then you'll be satisfied. So this book distribution, it's so important. And therefore, Prabhupada emphasized it so much. You know, he said, this makes me feel like a young man when I hear the book scores. You know, so it's very important that we get purified. And at the same time, we try to help others understand, you're not pure. You should get purified. You know, then you'll be happy. And when we get completely purified, then we'll be happy also. You know? Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class, and your point is very well taken. We should strive for the highest. But at the same time, it's always enjoined in the Shastra that you know where you are. So you have to operate from where you are in order to get to the highest. And in relation to desires, that means, as Prabhupada, Subhasa just reminded me that one time Prabhupada said, you can come before the deities and they say, my dear sir, this is my problem. In other words, don't pretend to be a pure devotee that you don't have any problems or any desires. You can come before the deities and say, this is my problem. An example is like the parents of, I think it was Madhavendra Puri, right? No, not Madhavendra Puri. Madhvacharya. They were barren. They wanted a child and they were trying.
Yes, we have to be honest with ourselves also. Bhari Narayan Prabhu, Maharaj. I'm still trying to get used to that. Where's the, wait, the microphone. Oh, they just ran out of battery. Go ahead, speak, Marsh. I'll repeat it. Here's your microphone.
Hare Krishna. I'm not going to. Do I need to repeat? I don't think so.
No, go ahead.
You know, whether we're full of desires or free from desires or desires of liberation, we should approach Krishna. Sure. But we should also be aware that it can be risky business if you approach Krishna with a material desire and if he fulfills that material desire. There's many examples of people go off into the material world for who knows how many births and this and that. So we shouldn't think, okay, let me just come forward with my material desires, dump them all on Krishna, and you know maybe he'll, you know, I'll ask him for 15 things, maybe I'll get 5. You know, we should also be aware of that this is risky. Playing with fire in this material world, you get those desires. So I'm just saying that there's the other side of the coin. It's not that, okay, well, I'm not a pure devotee, so, hey, here's my shopping list, Krishna. It's a dangerous world, and one should always keep... One of the elements of knowledge is to always keep awareness of the evils of birth, death, disease, and old age. So it's my sannyasi. I'm a sannyasi. I'm just to add that part. So there is the other cautionary side. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. There's one instance of a devotee that was praying to Krishna. There was one temple that needed money for building a temple. And he was praying to Krishna because he was actually doing the lottery. And he said he would give the money to Krishna if he won. And he won $1 million. But he didn't give it to Krishna. So he was praying for that money to help Krishna. And he got it, but then he didn't give it to Krishna. So... Well, he didn't give any of it. So yeah, there's danger there. You have to be careful about what we pray for. Yes, Devikinandana Prabhu. He's had his hand up over here for quite some time.
When Maharaj Amrish asked the advice from Brahmana, what advice did they give? Did they give anything or not?
No, they didn't know. It's prescribed here. They didn't know what he should do. It's in the Bhagavatam here. It's just mentioned that they didn't. Sorry, Mars, we don't know. We don't know what you should do. They were bewildered. So it's good to be a Vaishnava. It's good to be a Brahmana. That's nice. But... Well, there's Vaishnava. Vaishnava is already Brahmana. And there's Brahmana. The Brahmana doesn't necessarily have to be a Vaishnava, as we're seeing here. These Brahmanas weren't Vaishnavas, so they didn't know what to do. There's a question right here in the corner here. It's not working again? Boy, that battery didn't last long, did it? Go ahead. Well, no, there's probably people right in this room that are very pure. I mean, I don't want to say it, but most people in this world are impure. Yeah. It's a problem. It's a major problem. Oh, of course. Right here in this room, there's some. You're probably more pure than some of the people here, and some people are more pure than you. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I
Did you catch that, Mara? Medicine. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we're all impure, right, in this world. Practically not, you know, there's probably some pure devotees, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, the medicine in this age is the chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. If you chant this mantra, you'll find that you'll become purified, okay? Oh, you do? Okay. Oh, he wants to sell some chocolates. Okay. You can speak to some devotees outside, maybe. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Transcendental book distribution ki jai.